This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Randy Wood. He's Vice President Federal for F5 Networks. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good morning, John. Good to be here. Thanks.
We talked about so many different things in the studio here over the last couple of years. Lots of security, lots of network, cloud deployment, everything else. I wanted to bring in someone from kind of a different angle, unusual angle, and talk about different perspectives on security, different perspectives on software-defined networks and all kinds of different things. And F5 caught my eye. I was at an event, and I saw you guys. I talked to a few folks from your company. And when I heard F5, I figured, geez, something to do with airlines? Or No, it's got nothing to do with that. Maybe you can talk about your background, Randy, how you wound up with F5 Networks and what they do for our federal listeners.
Sure. So I am fairly new to F5 Networks, been here for just under 5 months. Of course, I run the federal business. Spent 13 years at Cisco Systems, actually two tours of duty. I was there for 10, gone for 5, and then back for 3. And left Cisco just this past summer to pursue this opportunity at F5. F5 is an interesting place right now. We've been around, been in business since 1996, but in many ways we act like a startup. The level of innovation, just the thought leadership, and staying true to our core competency, who we are, is what this company is all about. It's an exciting place to be right now. We're focusing on really kind of what we stand for, again, what that core competency is. And for us, it's the application. And it's driving our customers' application experience. It's being an essential component to an exceptional application experience that our customers demand. And that's what we do, and that's what we stand for.
Real simple to find more information, F as in Frank, F5.com. I mean, that's the easy one. Even I can say that. So when I went to the website this morning, I looked at F5 Networks and I've Seattle 1996. But before the show, you said, really, this is like a 17-year-old startup.
Exactly.
are they switching sides? Are they going to cross country? Or what? Why is it a startup?
Yeah, so we've been in business again since 1996. And, F5's core competency has been pretty simple, load balancing. We've been load balancers, and that's what we're known for. We're the best in the business. I think we own the market in the load balancing business. And what we've learned over the past 16, 17 years is that when you command that position of load balancing, when you're front and center on the layers 4 through 7 experience of a customer's network, there's so much more that we can do. There's such a bigger role that we can play above and beyond just load balancing. So all those application services, things like security and availability and mobility and reliability and performance, tend to be layer 4 through 7 services. So as we're managing and handling the traffic there, we now are in a position to apply new and advanced services to, again, increase and improve that customer application experience. And so that's really the sort of the startup look and feel to what F5 is doing right now. We're coming from a position of ownership, again, from that load balancing core competency, and we're just evolving what's possible and what our capabilities are in hardware and software to drive that application experience.
Back in September of 2001, I was writing for the Washington Post, and a little event happened up in New York, and they just got killed. Their server got crushed, and this is where I learned the term load balancing. I never knew about that until then, and so I learned about different aspects of load balancing and everything else. But if we take a look at a different tsunami, the tsunami that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years is mobile. If 3 out of 5 searches on Google are mobile, I mean, you would think that all of a sudden you don't have to worry about desktops accessing a server. You have to worry about mobile too, which, by the way, I have a mobile and a desktop. It doubles everything. So this is a real big change, isn't it?
Huge. It's a huge change. This is the new normal, frankly. You know, cloud computing to be sure, but our increased sort of reliance on mobility anytime, any place. Our demands and expectations with respect to application availability and application performance have never been higher. In fact, with respect to mobility, I want the same experience in my car that I have in my house, in my office, right? Work is what we do. It's not where we go. And so I'm on the road, and we're mobile. We're a mobile workforce. We're a mobile society. And our demands and expectations are increasingly such that, hey, I want that same application experience. And so what that does to the network, to network infrastructure, to network design is profound. And it's a change that that is honest and something that we haven't seen up until this point.
It's like being a shorter cook, and all of a sudden the orders double during your shift. It's like, how do we handle all this? And fortunately, experience with load balancing positions you perfectly to handle that.
That's right, because we're there, right? You know, network infrastructure, typical traditional network design is all about layer two, layer three design and architecture. And there are great companies that do that, that own that market. Cisco, for example, comes to mind. But when you get into that layer four through layer seven world, it's a whole different story. That's a whole different level of competency and a whole different level of design and engineering. And that's where F5 plays. That's where we have played. That is where we're claiming our stake. And again, that's where we're making customers successful with respect to their application. Let's face it, application is king. Were it not for the application, we don't need all the sophistication and networking. So we're back to the basics. We're getting back to what's important with respect to applying technology to solve customer business problems, and that's through these applications.
Yeah, most listeners, I mean, most people who are involved in the world of IT, they don't care about SOAP or REST. They care about the application. SOAP, REST, I don't care what you call, whatever four-letter you want. I just want it fast in front of me, and I don't want to wait a half hour for the app to come up.
That's right. So customers, when you talk to customers, we talk to our federal customers, they don't want computers. They don't care about computers. They have real business problems to solve, whether it's on the Department of Defense side in a real mission issue or back on the civilian government side in its services to the citizen. They want to connect. They want to relate. They want to interact. They want to share. They want to create. They want the applications to represent how they do their jobs. That's the benefit, the value of technology, and that is directly where we play. We make that connection, if you will, between the network, the sophistication of the network, and the simplification and experience of the application.
I'm all about four-letter words. SOAP is a four-letter word. REST, R-E-S-T, is a four-letter word. So is S-D-A-S. This is the phrase that pays. Today, we're talking about SDAS, which means software-defined application service. Is that correct?
That's correct. Software-defined application services is in many ways our answer, if you will, to software-defined networking. Now, we'll talk about software-defined networking. It's sort of gaining lots of interest and popularity, and I think we'll see more of it in the next 12 to 18 months. But software-defined application services really begins to address the layer 4 through 7 application services aspect of a software-defined network. Obviously, SDN is all about separating control plane from data plane, traditional layer 2, layer 3 type services. But what happens when we have to address customers' investment with respect to layer 4 through layer 7? It's software-defined application service, which lets us have that conversation, which gives us the opportunity to add value and increase and enhance that experience that customers expect within those SDN networks.
So F5's been around since 1996, named after a storm, or what's it named after anyway?
After a F5 twist or tornado.
That's what it is.
That's right.
In Oklahoma, it's an F5 coming through here, right? That's what it is, yeah.
It's clear and simple thinking. We're fast moving. And, you know, like I said, we act and think like a startup. We're innovative, and we're very clear about what we do and what we stand for.
So F5 Network's been around since 1996. I've been around since before 1996. In fact, in 91 and 92, I would use the internet as a text-based service, and I would FTP with a keyboard. Now, I tell developers that these days, they just fall off their chair laughing. They think I've been hit on the head or something. I mean, no, it was layer 7. It was back then. You'd type in FTP colon back, and you'd type in the exact address where you wanted to go, and that's how you got information. And it sounds primitive now, doesn't it?
It does. But again, you were very clear in 91 and 92 as you were doing that what the application was. Yeah, there's a whole underlying network. TCP/IP was this thing, and it was sort of spooky and scary, and it was very new. But FTP and those applications, very primitive, were what that whole experience was all about.
And it was fast.
And look how we've evolved.
Yeah, it was fast. If you were precise and exact, it was fast. However, one keyboard error and you're doomed. And I look at the different layers. I'm thinking about all those years I studied for those tests and had to understand the UDP and HTTP and I took all those tests but I don't care about them. You know, I just want my app to come up fast. And I'm sure that is what F5 Network is all about, is making sure that a warfighter gets the application fast to save someone's life when they're in the battlefield.
Listen, these are time sensitive, event sensitive operations that our warfinders find themselves in, right? It's not about situational awareness. It's about owning time and space. And it's using technology to help our warfighters own time and space in these time-sensitive, event-intensive environments. And so the abstraction of the complexity here is critically important because they don't care about how it works. You said it, they want their application, they need their application, they want the application to perform quickly and to represent what it is they're trying to do in a very natural way, and that's what F5 does.
Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about software-defined application service. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Randy Wood. He is Vice President Federal for F5 Networks. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Randy Wood. He's Vice President Federal for F5 Networks, talking about software-defined networks and software-defined application services. And in the previous block, I talked about these big tsunamis of change in information technology. 20% of web traffic is from smartphones and tablets today. Isn't that shocking? That's shocking from 5-6 years ago. I never would have guessed that. And I guess the question that my listeners have is, well, so great, I'm working at a Department of Interior, and I'm trying to manage all this madness with this increased traffic, moving to the clouds, worry about security, and how do I go about doing it? And most importantly, what's the cheapest way I can do it and in the least amount of time? And we're talking about some of the offerings from F5 Networks. And tell me more about SDAS and where it fits in with this whole idea of the cloud and security and managing networks.
Sure. So SDAS is software-defined application services. Again, it's sort of our answer to or the component to software-defined networking, focusing on applying the right types of services to our applications and doing it in a high-performance way using software. So really, it's part of our synthesis messaging in which we provide an architectural vision for customers, again, at that layer 4 through layer 7 level, that's really based on three things. It's a high-performance services fabric, number one. Number two, intelligent orchestration of application services against your application. Now, this just isn't your key applications. It's all applications in sort of a leave-no-application-behind mentality. And number three, it's simplified business models. So it's about high-performance services fabric, intelligent orchestration, and simplified business models. We make it easy for customers to buy and deploy and consume our hardware and software.
So by fabric, you mean physical fabric or just a theoretical fabric?
No, I mean really physical fabric. So think about sort of the old way of doing things. Let's take load balancing as an example. So load balancing is all about, again, that layer 4 experience and increasing performance of one or several applications. And with load balancing, we deploy typically a pair of load balancers. We call them big IPs. One's in active, one's in standby, so we've got an HA-type configuration. We're really evolving from that into an interconnected clustered fabric where we can now, using software, connect a number of big IPs and provide that hot standby capacity, all sorts of virtualization capacity in a way that really abstracts the complexity of a primary and secondary type device. So it's a clustering type capability that we provide in software, which in aggregate is tested to perform up to 20 terabits. So the performance is like nothing we've ever seen.
I teach a marketing in the graduate school at Georgetown, and I teach all my students to think like a publisher. They should create content that's valuable that people will find them. And I think if I put myself in your seat, I think what F5 Networks is saying, well, look, you have to think like an architect. Don't think like a software developer. Think like an architect and think how the system works together. And that would be the way to optimize the software-defined application services, the software-defined networks, is that if you don't worry about your little silo, you worry about how it interacts with others. And this is direct application to moving to the cloud.
That's right. Architectural thinking here is key. We've talked about the importance, the value of architectural thinking for a very long time. I think now as we begin to consider software-defined networking and sort of new paradigms, the importance of cloud, the importance of flexibility in public-private cloud, these hybrid-type configurations where government customers increasingly find themselves, you have to take an architectural approach. You have to be clear about what your layer 2 and layer 3 architecture configuration looks like, but you have to stay focused on the application because, again, it's all about the application. And some agencies have thousands and thousands of applications, then they're not going away. So as you begin to architect the next generation network services, what are you doing about those applications? What does that architecture look like? And for us, it's synthesis, it's software-defined application services. It's all about fabric, orchestration, making it easy for customers to buy and consume.
Now, when I hear the word synthesis, I think of classical rhetoric with thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. But synthesis, but this is a brand name for your product. Is that right, synthesis?
Yeah, well, it's more a brand name for an architectural vision. This is our marketing vision. Synthesis, again, where we
bring... I thought it was a product. That's a vision.
Yeah, it's really more of a vision that will... The manifestation of which will be in our products, in our solutions, in the inner working, and the more solution look and feel to what we're providing customers. So again, we're moving from, you know, an appliance or a chassis-based solution to more of a system-type solution, architectural solution, and synthesis is providing the underpinnings for that architectural vision.
And one part of that is the DNS management, is that right?
That's right. So that would be one reference architecture. So within synthesis, we've defined a number of reference architectures that are very, very pertinent to our customers today. And so we use the synthesis message and architecture as sort of the guiding sets of principles, and then we get very specific by way of reference architecture with respect to the appropriate application. And that is pre-tested, pre-designed, sort of pre-packaged, and something we hand to the customer and say, hey, this is ready to implement now.
I had a lot of the folks in the White House in the studio sitting in that chair. And years ago, we had Vivek in here, and he talked about data center consolidation. And I thought it was a noble idea. And if you look at over the years, there's a lot of comments can be made about that. But I think when you think about data center consolidation, the perfect application for what you're talking about, this is square peg, square hole, isn't it? Data center consolidation, might as well type in F5 networks. That's what it works with, huh?
That is where we find ourselves to a very large degree, again, across the entirety of our federal customer base in data center evolution, data center consolidation. And here's why. What F5 provides at the layer 4 through layer 7 level is a great opportunity to consolidate all sorts of different functionality into a single device, into a single platform, a single architecture. So the improvement in economics, economy of scale, economy of force, even what your support costs end up being can be profound when you take that approach. So we've done lots there. We've shown ourselves to be very successful, and we think we're leading the way in that data center consolidation opportunity.
So if I go to an FCE event, a breakfast, and I see a little table sponsored by Cisco, another table sponsored by F5 Networks, are they going to be like throwing plates at each other? Or I mean, I think you compete with Cisco, but on the other hand, it seems like you cooperate with Cisco in many ways too.
Yeah, so that's what a great story here. Cisco has traditionally been a competitor of F5, and really specifically in that layer 4 through layer 7 space. That is a space, L4 through 7, that Cisco has exited. They've abandoned and have decided to focus on their core competency, which is, among other things, layer 2 and layer 3 networking. And so we have formed now a partnership with Cisco, given their SDN strategy and SDN vision. Their view of the world is application-centric infrastructure, ACI. The interesting word there is application, right? Cisco understands the value and the importance of the application. Were it not for the application, the network's not needed. And so when it comes to application services, Cisco doesn't do it. And they've looked to us now to say, hey, what can you do? What are you doing within that layer 4 through 7 environment that we can leverage to be more successful together? And that's the essence of the partnership. So we are far bigger partners than we ever were competitors at this point. And there's a huge opportunity to go have a meaningful impact, make a meaningful impact, and increase the partnership we have together with our federal customers.
Early this morning, I was reading a blog, and the title was Cisco SourceFire and F5. And I said, well, these are strange bedfellows, but actually, the way you phrased and structured it, they're not strange bedfellows at all. They kind of fit.
Yeah, they do. Obviously, Cisco has recently acquired SourceFire. So, you know, what can we do there? What role can F5 play to, again, improve that experience, to improve that level of security services? As it turns out, there's a lot we can do there. And it's not just us saying this. This is recognition by Cisco that there's a role for F5 to play in that security architecture and in that evolving SDN architecture and everything in between.
I wrote down in my notes while you were speaking, data center consolidation. And if I have four or five data centers I'm consolidating, obviously some would have a lot of traffic, some would have medium traffic, some is like the three bears, and some have little traffic. And so you put them all together, you're going to have some type of tool to balance the load. I mean, this comes back to 1996 and load balancing. How can you not have a varying load with data center consolidation? It's part of it.
Well, that's right. And this is what we've learned in server virtualization via VMware and other great vendors over the last bunch of years, right? And so it's the same idea here. How much consolidation and to what degree can I improve the economics of my investment by consolidating and doing more, in some cases, with less, because I do have spare or surplus capacity in terms of processing and services application, et cetera. So it is a great story. And it's something that we're doing in very large data centers with very large customers today.
And if you're seeking ways to save money in a data center, one way to save money is look at unused capacity. And one way to do that is by having tools that allow you to dynamically configure systems and use load balancing effectively. And I think this is one, I think the objective with data center consolidation was to save money. And I think this puts it in work boots or puts it in practical applications. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about dynamic DNS infrastructure and other topics relating to software-defined networks. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Randy Wood. He is the Vice President Federal for F5 Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Randy Wood. He is a Vice President of Federal for F5 Networks, and we've been talking about making that transition to the cloud, data center consolidation, some of the challenges my listeners have, and we talked about SDAS, which is a software-defined application service, many of my students read blogs, I read blogs, and there may be blogs that my listeners might want to read and find out more information about this. Can you recommend a blog for my listeners to read, Randy?
Yeah, I think if you go to www.f5.com, there's a great number of blogs on all the topics we've covered here, synthesis, SDAS, SDN, sort of demystifying SDN. What does a partnership look like with Cisco, for example? And then what's F5 doing with more specificity within L4 through L7 to make that application experience a reality for customers? So I would encourage your listeners to go there, and I think you do some pretty good blogging yourself.
Dev Central, I think, is that the name of the blog at F5?
That's right.
Yeah. I was reading a blog there this morning. It talked about capital I, lowercase t. And I said, well, that's the Internet of Things.
Sure.
And it said, there's so many things out there. And I said, well, what applications do I have for my listeners? And just this morning, I was eating breakfast with my wife, and she had her Fitbit on. She said, well, John, I got 10,000 steps yesterday. I said, well, that's great for you. And because that's the Internet of Things. That's another data source. So my listeners started beating their head against the wall and going, oh, no, now I got to worry about Fitbit and smartphones and tablets and so many devices out there. It's so much information. How can you manage it? How you control it? And that's the topic of the conversation today is maybe this concept of synthesis can help my listeners just trying to manage the Internet of Things and the Internet of so many devices out there. There's an event coming up at the museum. Tell me more about this event.
Yeah, so this is our government symposium. So here's how we see the world from F5 with respect to our federal business. The federal business, again, DOD, National Intelligence, civilian government, is 80% the same as our commercial enterprise customers. And where it differs by 20%, John, it differs. That's a profound difference. And so I'm responsible for a team of professionals, sales professionals, and engineers that address that 20%. And so this government symposium, this conference, is all about the 20%, the things that are really important and different to our government customers. I have certification and accreditation responsibilities that my commercial counterparts don't have. So we're going to talk about that. How do I do business on my customers' terms? And what's interesting and important and relevant to our customers that's maybe not the case with commercial, that's what this symposium is all about. We're going to be talking about synthesis. We're going to be talking about software-defined application services. We're going to be talking about relevant reference architectures. And we're going to be talking about how our customers can make investments today to consolidate, control IT costs, and future-proof their network to support what they're going to do next.
And I think many of my listeners may be scratching their head going, now, where does F5 fit in with Cisco? And what about this thing called ACI, Application-Centric Infrastructure? I mean, there's got to be a topic that's going to be brought up in this conference. Is that right?
Yeah, it's great. So we're going to have three keynote speakers. One of our keynote speakers is actually a vice president from Cisco Systems.
Wait a minute, I thought you were competing with them. No, he's a speaker at your conference.
He's a speaker at our conference, and he's going to come, and he's going to talk about not Cisco and what Cisco stands for, but really the importance of the application, the importance of getting the application right with respect to your network architecture. And that dovetails exactly into what our message is, what our vision is, again, with respect to the application, the performance, and the experience of the application. So it is very much a partnership, And we're going to show the world and show our federal customers at our symposium in May.
So if we were to look at your company from 40,000 feet, would we classify it as a company that does network monitoring? And one aspect of that is load balancing. Another aspect of that might be improving application delivery. Is that a good
synopsis? I would say it's solutions for an application world, really, is quite simple. My vision is to make a contribution to our customers' application performance, an exceptional contribution that drives exceptional application performance.
I think we're talking about the elephant in the room right now. The elephant, of course, is security. And I don't think we can have a conversation about information technology in the federal government without touching on security. And I think before the break, we talked about dynamic DNS infrastructure. I think this does have an implication, especially for DDoS attacks and different types of threats. I mean, this fits in perfectly with securing the enterprise for attacks, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's a fascinating conversation. Again, our pedigree, what we're known for, is load balancing. We've been doing it longer and better than anybody. And so when we go in and have a conversation now with customers, it's all about what we've talked about here. It's all about security. And what can we do to harden and lock down that application with respect to authentication and availability and access control and firewall-type capabilities. And so we have this conversation with customers, and almost every time they said, we had no idea you did that. Well, as it turns out, when I sit where I sit in that layer 4 through layer 7 model, I have access, I have a new level of capability to affect and influence these applications in all sorts of new and relevant ways, again, through high-performance architecture, hardware and software architectures. And so security is this obvious place where we play, and we're playing a very big role there.
I'm going to go back to September 11th a few years back when we had a little incident took place. When I think back of that, I think of the Washington Post had a server, a physical server, and it got deluged and had to use a load balancer maybe to go to another physical server. And that's, I've been in enough data centers to know that there's one, they go, one rolls over to two. It makes sense. Now we're talking about virtual servers. Now we're talking about load balancing, not on physical servers, but load balancing on something like VMware. And so where do you fit in with VMware? Do you compete with VMware? Do you work with VMware? Does VMware does load balancing too? I mean, it's all of a sudden, it's not one physical server. It's a server that could be sitting in Chicago somewhere and you're managing it from Texas.
Yeah, so that's a great question. The same way that we partner with Cisco, we have a partnership with VMware. We've partnered with VMware for quite some time on providing these types of services in this virtualized environment. Obviously, VMware has its eye on its own SDN offering through a recent acquisition, and so we have an equal story to tell there. But what we see, where we're coming from, is a world of what I'll call sort of micro architectures, these siloed architectures. For example, you have an application you're going to roll out, you're going to roll out an architecture, and you've got five more, and you've got five more architectures. The real opportunity now in working with VMware, for example, in a virtualized world, is to create that fabric where I can give slices of this fabric to all my applications in an equal way. And I can load balance and expand and contract between them. So it's far more of a virtual world than it ever was. And the capabilities to do this very quickly and on the fly is what's important to customers. And our partnership with VMware, we make that possible.
And I think many of my listeners would say, oh yeah, F5 Networks. I remember we bought that appliance years ago, and you could go to a data center and point out, yes, that's a router, that's this, that's a server, and that's the appliance. And what seems to be happening is F5 is moving from that physical server maybe into improved servers with SSD and more virtualized capability to load balance.
That's exactly right, to load balance and do so much more across the 4 through 7 part of your architecture, right? To apply so many more services through our synthesis and software-defined application service model to ensure things like performance and security and availability and all those things that drive that application experience.
So what is an application delivery controller anyway? I just know what a controller was. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so I think that's the industry term, the term the industry's given to kind of what we do. Application delivery control, its genesis is in the load balancing world. That's where it comes from. But now it's evolved to mean so much more with respect to application and delivering all types of services to those applications to increase and ensure the performance and security and otherwise of those applications. So it's a way in which the industry sort of defines and measures and tracks this market.
So an ADN is an application delivering, wait a minute, application delivery networking,
sure.
And then this is part of it too. It's an application delivery controller. I keep thinking of a physical controller for something, but this isn't physical anymore. It's like, okay, we got Microsoft Oracle, we got another application, and how do you physically juggle those between the different services? And oh, by the way, next week, federal information technology professional, you have to reduce number of servers and move your data center to Boston. These are very complex problems.
Well, and as it turns out, from a cloud model, maybe I want to go and have some of my services delivered to Amazon Web Services, AWS. And so now I've got a public-private cloud and sort of a hybrid model, but I want to have the same level of control, application control, across the entirety of my application infrastructure. That's what we're talking about.
And if you're going to be compliant, you better have that control.
And you have to. So we're breaking all the traditional boundaries. All the things that we knew are really part of the past. The new normal is what we're talking about. It's mobility, it's cloud, it's public-private, it's a hybrid infrastructure. But I want to have that same level of control and the same level of application experience despite how I might be delivering that application.
And that would be a key part of the presentation, I hope, on the symposium on May 8th. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll talk more about DNS infrastructure, application delivery, and some of the challenges involved with moving cloud platforms and maybe touch a little bit on security. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Randy Wood. He is Vice President Federal for F5 Networks. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today is Randy Wood. He's Vice President Federal for F5 Networks. And I think many of our listeners kind of associate load balancing with F5 Networks, and maybe they think of hardware. And the show today actually is talking about making a transition into software-defined networking and managing software-defined application services. And before the break, we talked about security. I mean, security's got to be top of mind for anyone even considering any company out there with the federal government, doesn't it? And it fits in perfectly with it, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The last conversation that we're having with our customers today is about security. It's about securing that application. And as it turns out, with what we do with application performance, security is just a natural fit. It's a natural thing, and we are doing quite a bit of it for our customers.
You know, Randy, every person who sat in that chair has got to take my nerd test. So what they're doing is they're listening to you going, I wonder if that guy's a nerd or not. I wonder what kind of phone he has. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And these are scientifically designed questions. And we're going to find out if you are, in fact, a card-carrying nerd or not.
Let's do it.
First question. Break into your house. How many desktop computers do I find in your home today?
Well, you're going to find four Macs. Three MacBook Pros and a MacBook. And you're going to find one Windows PC. It's my last holdout.
And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Every member in the family, and there's four of us, has an iPhone.
But in the last year, you buy them?
I bought them. Three 4Ss and a 5S.
Wow. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Okay. Do you have a personal blog?
I do not.
Okay. What kind of online backup service do you use?
I back my own stuff up using an Apple service, and I use the iCloud.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone 5S.
An iPhone? I thought it was going to be BlackBerry. Well, there you go. How many apps have you used on that in the last 30 days?
15.
Good, good. And break into your house this afternoon. How many tablets do you see floating around there?
You're going to see two iPads.
Okay. And social networking sites you're active in?
Yeah, sure. LinkedIn, Facebook, the popular ones.
And the last book you read, was electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Jeez, you're so close. You're going to get a passing
grade. But I have an electronic
book
collection.
You're a nerd wannabe.
This
you
was
really
a book
are.
On mindfulness. I'm trying to be more mindful.
Mindful. My. You're so close, yet so far away. You know, years ago I'd ask if you have a tablet. Now it's how many.
Right.
I guess the next layer is going to be is how many devices do you have on your body that are internet-enabled? A Google Glass and a Fitbit and a smartwatch. And it's really changing so much, which goes back to original conversation, is managing this Internet of Things and so many different devices out there for federal information professionals and others as well. We know this event's coming up, and you're talking about a wide range of things. I'm surprised that F5 Networks is partnering with all these people I thought you competed with, but it looks like it's hand in glove. It really is different aspect of Microsoft, different aspect of VMware, different aspect of Cisco. Where do you see all this happening in the next few years? Are there going to be dominant vendors like Amazon and Facebook? Is it going to be smaller companies? Is everything going to be gobbled up? What's the future of the software-defined network and this whole concept of defining applications and improving them on networks. Where's it going to head in the next 5 years?
Yeah, so first of all, application is king. It's all about the application. It will increasingly be about the application. So the application will reign supreme. And I think those companies that are most innovative, most nimble and aggressive towards providing better application experience are going to rule the day. Cloud networking is here and it's not going away. It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense for our government customers that it will be a cloud-enabled world. I see the death of the PC. I've been predicting the death of the PC for a very long time. Again, people don't want computers. They want to relate and create and interact and collaborate independent of really time and space, and it's the application that makes that possible. And then it's all about mobility. It is mobile, mobile applications served up from the cloud, and I think people are increasingly highly sensitized, again, to the experience of that application. And so the interconnection of applications, I think, will be a big trend in the future. That is, you talked about Fitbit. I'm a Fitbit guy. Just lost my Fitbit. Have to get a new one. My Fitbit integrates with all my key applications, and I can get to those applications, and I can monitor what it is that I'm doing on my smartphone, on my iPad, on the web, and that is the level of interconnectedness that I think the world will come to expect in the next 5 years.
Because I have a couple nerd points on this side of the interview booth here as well. I'm thinking about mobile and managing mobile apps. I'm thinking, well, how do they do it? Magic wand? Magic fairy dust? No, I think they must do it with data deduplication and compression. Are those two techniques that you use, or am I just guessing wrong?
Well, I think that deduplication, to be sure, even with respect to where you serve that data up, right? It's not always most efficient to serve the data up from the source. What if you could introduce a proxy architecture, an F5 proxy architecture, and let me serve it up for you, right? The conservation of precious resources is what's realized in that type of model.
That's where the DNS fits in then.
Absolutely.
So it's not compression. It's more managing through the DNS.
Yeah, and things like web acceleration and really getting involved in affecting that experience at even layer 7. Imagine having your experience, your application experience, positively influenced and affected at layer 7. These are pretty exciting times.
It's almost like machine-level language. They can really be fast that way.
Well, and the other thing is that the degree to which we can abstract the complexity, because let's face it, this is really complex stuff we're talking about, right, to make this work and to bring this together. And so the degree to which this complexity can be abstracted, I think, is the key to success, right? When I download an application from the iCloud or wherever I download it and begin to rely on this for a business relevant way, again, I'm not concerned about how it works and all the steps in between. I just want that experience. I want that thing to work. And that's what we aspire to do.
What about single sign-on and mobile management and endpoint security? Is that
right in our strike zone? It's exactly what we do. And we integrate with all popular mandatory government, DoD, civilian type requirements for like CAC authorization, for example. We have applications specifically written that allow our products to interact directly with what our customers expect.
You would think so. If an application is going to be running on a smartphone, you'd have to have some kind of competence with identification and that whole area.
For sure.
Tell me about virtualization integration. When I think of VMware, I think they have their own tools to load management. And why would they partner with you? And what possible value would be like Ford partnering with Chevy or something? What's the value to them?
Yeah, so I think they understand what our core competency is, you know, what we stand for, again, specifically within layers 4 through 7. And so it's to their benefit to partner with the industry leaders, to those that have the market share, those that are the thought leaders in where we are today and where we're going to be tomorrow. And let's face it, in some ways we do compete and overlap, but I think at the end of the day, there's a healthy appreciation and respect for what each other does and how we come together in a very complementary way to be better mission partners to our customers, and that's what we're trying to do.
Now, I found the best events and best webinars I've attended have been where someone will say, hi, my name's Randy Wood. Here is a best fit for my application. Here's the best fit for Synthesis, 1, 2, and 3. And oh, by the way, I don't think we'll fit here, 1, 2, and 3. That way people say, well, at least he's being honest. I mean, he's being objective and saying this is where they fit. And maybe there are areas where you can honestly say, no, best fit for this load balancing situation is going to be the VMware product. You're going to get so much credibility by saying that. They're going to go, well, finally, someone's honest.
Well, you have to be clear about where you stand and what you stand for. Who are you and what do you do? hey, we're F5 and we're all about your application. We're all about driving the best application experience that you can possibly have, and this is how we do it. And so when it comes to the things that VMware does or Cisco does, for example, we don't do that. And we're very clear about saying, hey, we don't do that, but here's what we do, and here's how we do it with Cisco or with VMware to provide the absolute best solution. And I think that's why F5 is seeing the success that we're seeing and is a great place to be.
So it's your company focuses on security, performance, and availability. And the availability is not defined by anything but by the physical end user using an application quickly and, for our audience, securely.
Pretty simple, pretty clear. That is probably the most effective measurement. Hey, what does that look like if it's a very subjective sort of assessment? What do you feel about that application? How do you feel? It's fast. It does what I want it to do. It loads quickly. The response time is great. I don't know how that's happening. There's a lot of magic behind that's making that's the complexity that we abstract, but that is the measurement of success for us.
Drew Brees can handle a two-minute drill fairly well. I'm going to give you a one-minute drill. Give me 1 minute on the future of F5 networks.
Yeah, so I think F5, we continue to evolve and innovate at layers 4 through 7. I think you will see our security business grow dramatically. In some ways, maybe we're the Rodney Dangerfield of security, right? We do great stuff, great story. We don't get a lot of respect because customers don't know us for that. So for us, that's a real opportunity, security. What we will do with respect to software-defined networking, I think will be profound with both Cisco and VMware over the next 2 to 3 years, and it will contribute largely to the growth of our business. And then specifically, within our federal business, I think we continue to make significant positive impact and positive contributions to the mission of our customers by using technology to fulfill their mission.
We have to end the interview here. We seem to be running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Randy Wood. He is the Vice President Federal for F5 Networks. Thanks, Randy.
John, thank you.